Hey, beauties. Welcome to the Rise Up and Radiate podcast. I'm Ivory, your host, life coach, and your personal cheerleader on this journey. And baby girl, I am so glad you're here. This is the place where we get real, dive deep, and yes, even have a little fun as we uncover the light that's waiting to shine from within you. Here, you'll be inspired, motivated, and maybe even a bit challenged to rise up and radiate, even if you're walking through some hard things right now. Because guess what? You were made to walk in confidence, freedom, and total authenticity. Today, we're diving into stories of people who went from feeling stuck, unsure, and disconnected to who they are to rising up and shining in ways they never imagined. And you're going to pick up some tools and tips along the way to help you do the same. And if this episode lights you up, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend or leave a review so more amazing souls can join us on this journey. Let's spread the light far and wide and help everyone rise up and radiate. Buckle in. Here we go. Let's do this. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Rise Up and Radiate podcast. I'm your host, Ivory, and today, y'all, buckle in. It's going to be a good one. I want to welcome today my guest, Dr. Monique Starling, onto the podcast. She is a licensed mental health counselor and a certified clinical trauma professional currently working full-time in practice at Life Transformation Counseling. She is passionate about caring for those who are grieving and has experienced trauma from all different walks of life. However, she has a unique passion for caring for other caregivers, including health professionals, ministers, and other frontline workers. She has received a doctoral degree in community care and counseling with a specialization in marriage and family therapy. So she also is passionate about helping families and couples heal and thrive. Come on, girl, I see you. Her doctoral research study focused on training and preparedness of counseling students and has also been published in the Journal of Counselor Preparation and Supervision. In due time, it's Monique's hope to utilize her doctoral training to raise up the next generation of therapists who care deeply for those they serve, are well-equipped, and can lead people in healing with a blend of clinical and compassionate excellence. In her personal life, she is a lover of Jesus, a wife to her wonderful husband, the other Dr. Starling, and she is an extrovert of all extroverts. So in her spare time, if she is not at the gym getting a good workout in, you can find her hanging with her husband and her wonderful friends and her church community, whom she loves dearly. So can we give Monique a welcome? Give her a hand clap. Sister, we are glad you're here, and we are so excited to see what God has in store for us today. So welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's dive in. So we're going to talk through a part of your life, and I would love for you to share what God put on your heart. Yeah. We're in a time of life where you were in a season of darkness and what that experience was like for you.
Yeah. So I think there are a few that come to mind, but I honestly think the most prominent one was a season of depression that was extended that God really walked me through. And when I say extended, it lasted for about 4 to 4.5 years.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that season of depression was pretty heavy. And honestly, funny enough, or even the ironic part about it is that it actually coincided with my years in graduate school becoming a mental health therapist. And so at the very same time that I was learning all about healthy and healing and, you know, coming out of anxiety and depression, that was actually the same season where I was walking through my heaviest season of darkness. And so that season comes to mind, and almost how ironic that is. And so, yeah, God did a lot in that season and then through me. And so, yeah, I'd love to answer any questions you have about that. Or
yeah, I think it's interesting to note. For our listeners out there, when God calls us to something, there is often a process of learning to get prepared for what we're supposed to do. Would you say that's true? Like you said, it's ironic, but there's no coincidences with God, right? That you were finishing your study to become a counselor. And in that, there was heavy depression. There was heavy darkness. And so I just want people to hear, sometimes we'll equate opposition to meaning that we're not supposed to be where we are. But there are many times where opposition is just proof that we're going in the right direction and we have to keep going. Would you say that's true?
Yes. Amen. And it's amazing because in the deepest throes of that season, I would even wrestle with God about that. It would almost, my flesh was tempted to get insecure about that. Like, how am I becoming a therapist? But I'm depressed or I'm anxious. And the Lord would always just call me to trust him. Like sometimes he wouldn't even answer me in those questions in the way I wanted him to, but he would simply call me to trust and, really believe in his hand and his workings and his doings. And there's so much to that, but yes. And as a human being, it's tempting to get insecure about that, but that is the deepest place of trust that God often calls us to. And so it's powerful.
Y'all ready? Buckle in. It's going to be a good one. All right. Yeah. So you're in this space trying to answer the call of the Lord. You're asking for deliverance. You're asking for healing. You're studying about what healthy looks like, right? And you're in this turmoil yourself, right? So was there a defining moment that helped you start beginning to move toward the light, or was it more of a gradual process? And then what kind of inspired you to keep going?
Yes, that is such a great question. So my short answer, it was definitely gradual, certainly a process. And what I mean by that is I, just like you said beautifully in my introduction, I do have a great church community that I love and have friends that were surrounding me throughout the whole process. So I know that I know God put those people in my life to keep me, to guard me, to pray for me. You know, so in some capacities, I think I did have great support and great surrounding, but the process was gradual because, and I don't know if any of the listeners out there have ever walked through depression, but sometimes you're not even actually aware that you're fully depressed.
Come on.
Like there's a wrestling in that. And so sometimes there would be days that were better than others. And because of that, sometimes I thought, well, I'm okay. This is just a rough season. And then I would hit some of those lows where it was really hard. And so it's in the highs and the lows, in the wrestling, you're almost even figuring out where you stand in all of it. And so because even your experience of depression has highs and lows, it very much makes for a gradual process of walking through that. And so really what that gradual process looked like was, I had great church community. So I had people praying for me. I would come to people with pieces of it. So like the pieces that I knew that were contributing to the way that I, at least what I thought were the contributing pieces to what I was feeling. So for example, I was single maybe longer than I wanted to. So I would have like women of God in my life that would walk with me through that or just pray for me and encourage me and, or just struggling with discontentment or even the pressures of grad school, right? Sometimes you even chalk up your depression to things like that. But, so there were pieces of it that God had put people in my life walking through it with me. But just to be transparent with you, I never formally got counseling or therapy from like a licensed mental health therapist. And again, I think a piece of that was I'm learning about therapy. I'm learning the tools. I have good community. And so sometimes there is that internal wrestle of, I don't know if I need full professional help right now. But in hindsight, I honestly think I would have benefited from a therapist. I probably should have. But again, having like spiritual pastoral care blended with I'm learning about therapy, I think maybe that's why I didn't seek it at the time. But I could have totally benefited from therapy. And so you live and you learn. But even that, I have compassion for people. Now when I have clients who come and tell me that it took them a while to come, I'm super compassionate towards that. I go, oh, I get it. I'm not like judgmental about that. And anyway, so God uses all things. He's sovereign.
Hallelujah. Amen. So you're in this place, you're having these highs and lows, right? There were some very tangible reasons that were leading you kind of to the darkness. And, but at the same time, at points you couldn't even recognize it. You're like, I don't really know why I'm struggling to get out of bed today or to finish this assignment. And I think that's where, right? I'm so grateful you had that pastoral counseling, right? As an inner healer and doing inner healing work and deliverance and different things in my coaching, I find that, yes, there can be surface level stuff, but there's often deeper things that can potentially be happening, right? Like your expectation of, man, I thought I'd be married here or whatever. And those can be playing into it. But then there's a whole spiritual level of, man, what are the demons that potentially could be trying to attack me? What is in my generational line that maybe other family members have walked through depression? And it's not necessarily me. It's that it's attached to what I've experienced just being in the line that I'm in. Okay. And so I think it's so important as we're talking about you navigating this. Yes, you maybe didn't go to counseling. And so with that, I have a question for you, because I'm sure there's listeners like, okay, but let me listeners hear this. Monique was literally doing counseling training. So she was kind of doing the work as she was processing through this. But a lot of people will say, well, she didn't go to counseling. She just worked with her pastor and she worked with, you know, her friends and her family. And that's enough for me. So coming out of it, not getting that support and now being in it and going through some counseling, you know, being supervised by a counselor who makes sure you got your stuff together and is processing through stuff. What would you say to that person?
Say to the listener that might be thinking that?
Yes.
I would say I can empathize with the temptation to not be vulnerable and share it with, let's be honest, a stranger, what you're going through, or to seek that professional help. I would empathize with the temptation to even go there in your thoughts of maybe feeling embarrassed or shame. I can have compassion for those vulnerabilities and those weaknesses of our flesh or of your flesh. But I honestly would encourage them to go as soon as they are able to. And I understand that not everybody needs clinical trauma work, for example. There's varying degrees of intensity. And so I have understanding for that too.
Absolutely.
But if it's possible, I mean, until it's revealed, it can't be healed. And so...
Wait, pause. That one more time.
Until it's revealed, it cannot be healed. And so there is just a spiritual and psychological principle that when things get brought to the light, it loses power over you.
Come on.
Right? And so to address it very spiritually first, we all know the enemy. We have an enemy. He works with things that are in the darkness. And so he only has fuel or power in the dark. And if it's concealed, he has access to it.
But
the moment it's in the light, now you have people praying for you. Now it's no longer hidden. And literally the enemy is de-weaponized. Like he loses weaponry, you know? And so there's a spiritual principle to that, but that's also psychologically true. Like even in my doctoral work, you look about the value of externalizing your thoughts and bringing it, sharing it out loud with people. It helps the mind untangle things that you wrestle with on the inside. And so there is such value to opening up in a safe space. So again, if you really feel like you have a secure pastoral, you know, relationship in your church, that can actually serve that purpose. But some of the beauty of a professional counseling environment is the fact that it is fully confidential by law. So even some of the benefits, like there's that security in that, but it's confidential. And then really ideally, mental health therapists are supposed to be physical therapists for the brain and the body. And so any sort of injury or wounds you might be carrying, we're supposed to be like the physical therapists of your mind, your emotions. And so we are trained to help you heal on a, in a deeper way that pairs, ideally it's supposed to pair the spiritual with that as well. But so there is just a depth of access that you get when you go to a licensed mental health counselor or a professional therapy setting or a professional life coach that's trained. And so that would be my encouragement to that listener is, you know, sometimes we don't have to learn all the lessons the hard way.
Come
on.
You
can gather wisdom from people who have said, I wish I would have went sooner.
Yes.
Or I wish I would have added that to what I was going through. I think it could have expedited my healing. I know God uses all things.
Absolutely.
And he's sovereign. But if I could go back, I totally would have capitalized on that and leverage that greater depth of healing sooner rather than later.
That's so good. Thank you for sharing that, because I think there's such a stigma, and it can really be in the church a lot of times, you know, like I just need Jesus. I got my, you know, my word and I got prayer and that's true. And amen. Yes. All of that.
You need all of
every bit of that. Please do not misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But there are places where you need a trauma professional. There have been times when I've been coaching clients and I'm like, hey, we keep running into this same thing. Yes. I am not trained to be able to walk you through all the trauma that maybe you need to work with the educated professional therapist with, right? And so that's the space where you can work, where even coaches are limited in what we can do. Now, hey, I can get you to point A to point B. We can do a ton of healing work. But if you find that there is a part of your life where you just keep hitting it, yes, many times we can do some inner healing and some deliverance and God will set that thing free.
Amen.
But if you find that that's not working, then that may be a sign that, hey, I need someone like Dr. Monique Starling who can come beside me, who can help me navigate what's going on in my head and my heart and be a physical representation who can guide me through things that are literally going to help transform what's going on in my brain. I heard this a couple of days ago, and it said that a lot of times we think Jesus came to convert us, and that's actually not true. He came to transform us. He's not trying to just bring you onto our team. He's literally trying to transform and make what is old new, bring what is dead to life, and establish you as a new creation. That is transformation. It is not conversion. God wants to transform you. So if you're sitting there wondering, man, could I be healed from this thing? Okay, I'm experiencing depression. I'm experiencing anxiety. I'm experiencing these things. Can I find healing? The answer is yes.
Amen.
Because nothing is impossible with God. Okay?
Yes. I love that. I love that. And if I could add one more thing to what you were saying, this is beautiful. Because trauma and grief and depression, it is so physical.
Come on.
So that stuff not only affects the way you feel emotionally, but it affects your body. And so when you go to see a certified clinical trauma professional, not all of them are, but at Life Transformation, we're really big on some of those deeper trauma treatment modalities
that
actually heal trauma from your brain and your body. So
Tell them about it.
Yeah, quite literally physical therapy for the brain. So there's two modalities that I use and other practitioners at our practice use, but accelerated resolution therapy and brain spotting. They're both different approaches, but they have the same goal: to quite literally heal trauma from the region of your brain where trauma gets stored. And it's actually a different part of your brain that then we can access through just talking about it. So the frontal lobe of the brain. So anyway, I'm getting really sciencey on you guys.
Go, but love it, go.
Okay.
I love it. But yeah, they need to be educated.
Yes, the frontal lobe of your brain is the part that we work with when we're doing traditional talk therapy, or like you said, in life coaching, and that's good. Those muscles in the mind, that part of the brain, that region does need to be strengthened and healed, but that's not where trauma gets stored. It gets stored in the subcortex region, and so through ART and brain spotting, and there's more details of how those modalities work, but it's quite literally like a physical therapy treatment for your brain and your body, where we actually discharge the trauma. And so I love that stuff. I love that God made our brains and our bodies.
Come on.
He knows how they work. ART and brain spotting, these are just tools. He's the source. And just like anything else, in the way that God can use a physician to lead you to healing with your physical health needs, or God might encourage you to go get a personal trainer and start working out, right? Like, God will point you in the right direction to the healing that he's made available through his creation and through his people. And so anyway, I just love it. I'm super passionate about that stuff. And it's humbling and an honor to serve people that way and to be used by the Lord to come alongside people in their deepest pain. And that way, I just love it. I could talk about it all day.
No, I feel it. And I think people, we need to educate people what is out there, right? And I think this is important for me to note here, right? So they may be like, well, okay, so Monique's a counselor and Ivory's a coach. What are the differences? And I would say this, counseling is really about going through past heartache, things that are keeping you linked to the past, right? They're really gonna, things that maybe you're struggling walking through because of what you've experienced in your childhood, what, how your brain carried the grief, what you're processing if you've lost something, right? That's really gonna be what counseling is gonna be really good at, healing the trauma. Your girl, as a coach, I probably won't be able to use those modalities to heal trauma. Mm-hmm. But what I will do is really push you into the future. So once you get healed of all that stuff, it's like, hey, I got you. Let's talk about how we can move into the future. Let's do some inner healing work to identify maybe what may be keeping you there. You worked through a lot of it, but maybe there's agreements or limiting beliefs that we need to break in the name of Jesus so you can move into the destiny that God created you for. So that's kind of the difference, right? Counseling is really going to help with your past and what you're carrying. It's in your now. And coaching is going to take where you are now and move you into your future. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes. Such a great description. Yep. Okay.
Good. Solid. So if you're wondering about the differences, that's what you're going to get. It's going to be different, but based on where you are and your experiences and where you are in life, both of them can be trigger points that can help you launch into who God created you to be and the inheritance that he purchased for you. I got to say this real quick. People, you're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So all of it is already yours. And there have been people that have been gifted so we can help you walk into it. So don't allow things to keep you stuck because God came so you could be set free. All right. Any points to say to that, sister? Are we-
No, that was amazing. Yes. Therapy will help you heal your past. Coaching will help you walk into that future.
Come
beautifully
on.
Said.
Let's go. So number three, you are sitting in this place. You're navigating it. There are highs, there are lows, but looking back, right? What was there something that was valuable that you learned about yourself? Maybe that boosted your confidence, that helped you walk in more freedom or more authentically through that difficult time that you maybe didn't see at the moment?
Yes. In all honesty, when I reflect back on that season, I think the most valuable lesson I learned about myself, or really the most valuable tool God imparted to me, was to forfeit self-reliance.
Woo!
Now I know I'll explain a little bit what I mean by that. So in forfeiting self-reliance, there was a greater depth of intimacy and connection to God that got developed through it. And now, like, really to break it down in layman's terms, I mean, when you struggle with depression, there are certain things, even little things, that you feel like, I actually don't feel like I have the capacity to do this. So everything from what you mentioned before, like getting out of bed, being in grad school and finishing a homework assignment, I'm feeling so low or anxious, I can't do it. Or even small things like, I don't know, figuring out what you're going to eat for dinner that night, right? Like the decision fatigue that you just feel like you don't have the capacity for. Oh, it's getting me emotional. When you're in those seasons of depression, the small things seem so big. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful that the Lord used that season to teach me what it meant to really cry out to him and to see him come through for me as a helper. It's one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit. The word refers to the Holy Spirit as paraclete, the one that comes alongside, helper. And so literally I would be sitting in front of my laptop feeling like I can't finish this assignment. And I would pause and I would pray and I would cry out to God and I would tangibly feel my help come on. Like I would feel a burst of energy come on me, or all of a sudden God would download ideas in my mind to help me finish that. Or some days where I didn't know what to eat for dinner or I had no motivation to cook, right? The Lord would pour out his grace and just say, it's okay, you can rest. Why don't you just order something? Or I would see one of my roommates at the time. She would say, hey, I made this extra. Do you want some? Like I would watch it happen. Like the Lord help me. And so that is a muscle in my walk with God that is irreplaceable. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm so grateful now. When you're in it, it feels heavy. Mm-hmm. When you're in it, you want nothing more than to be out of it in your humanity. But I am so grateful because that is a muscle a faith muscle mm-hmm. that God developed in the heaviness, right? Like when you think of how muscles get developed, in order to increase your muscle strength, you have to add weight. Mm-hmm. So in the weight of depression, there was a muscle and a strength of full dependence on him that would have never got developed any other way. And so I use that same muscle today as a clinician. Like, I don't walk into a day without being like, all right, God, I can't do this without you.
Come on.
All right. Even when I'm in my office or my client's waiting in the lobby, I literally will say, I have this thing with God. I go, after you. I'll follow him to the, you know, like, after you, I can't do this without you. And that kind of selflessness, or like mm-hmm. not relying on self is what I mean, got developed. And then also on the other side of maybe the heaviness of depression has lifted, but I've also learned over time, you have more peace like that. Mm-hmm. Like that was the way it was always supposed to be. We were always supposed to do it all with the Lord. Like you were never meant to carry any of the calling or the responsibilities on your own. Like that is actually how the Lord designed it to be, that we would be 100% reliant on him or 100% interwoven with him in all that we do. And so God has shown me that there's greater access to peace like that, mm-hmm. you know? And so, I'm not sure I directly answered your question, but no, I hope that is.
It's beautiful.
That is. And the last piece of it that I will say, and just to anybody who's listening too, because I am actually very naturally a doer, a planner, mm-hmm. a fixer, very planful, proactive, you know, always did well in school, like is very in my flesh to the outside viewer. I would seem like a very capable person, like on all accounts of that word or that term. And so nobody ever signs up or would ask for seasons of grief or depression yeah. like that. But on the other side of it, there was just a way of relating to God that God had to develop in me to keep me at his feet and to keep me needing him and connected to him in all that I do. And so I'm so grateful for that. Mm.
I feel like you're weaving such a beautiful tapestry of points that people can take from this conversation. Number one, community. If you are not in a community where people are praying for you and holding up your hands when you cannot, find community. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit for what he's trying to teach you in it. She said that one thing that God was doing in this season of darkness was strengthening her faith muscle. He had to show her that, baby girl, in order for me to have the impact that I want to have in your life, you have to let me lead you. Mm-hmm. You have to let me be your helper. And I'm just hearing that. And so sometimes, guys, because I've dealt with my own depression, my own anxiety, in my own life. A lot of it was linked to shame and things not looking like I thought they would. And in those places, it can be so hard to see what God may be trying to show you. But you have a God who wants to give you insight and awareness. So I love that you are giving us a tool here that we can say, Lord, help me to see how you want to be my helper in this moment. Mm-hmm. Help me to know how to lean on your Holy Spirit to do what I need to do. Help me to learn how to lean on you. And this is another thing, guys. So often when we do have that tendency to be able to be capable, the Lord has to kind of exchange the tendency to produce and to perform and to own things and versus to become a steward of them. Because when we're owning, there's stress, there's heaviness, there's this weight that we're carrying and this pressure. And like you said, he always intended it to be a partnership. And so, but that comes through getting to know the Holy Spirit. That comes through having conversations with those who cares for you. That comes through possibly working with a coach, possibly working with a counselor, talking to your pastor, having people around you who can be honest and who you can share those deep, hard, things. And so I just love that you're saying, man, what was so trying in that season has become something that literally makes me who I am today as a person who leans yes. on Jesus and knows in confidence that I'm good because he's gone before me. He's going to help me because he had to prove it in the season of darkness when you didn't get it, when it was hard, when you couldn't even see up from down sometimes. And I think that is just so beautiful.
Yes. You said it so well. And one other thing that just came to my mind
yeah.
that the Lord really developed in and through that season, I saw, and it's a different angle, but I saw the value of still pouring out, even in the midst of a season of depression.
Come on.
So as wild as it sounds, some of the most fruitful times in my 20s were like during that season too. Like the Lord, I was really connected in my church community. So I was like leading Bible studies with girls and people were getting saved and God would open up doors. I was doing like a speaking engagement with like the anesthesiology department at UF. And I'm like all these open doors of like, but God still was calling me to pour out. And there is this element, of something valuable that I learned that sometimes I now will impart to my clients, because things like depression and grief, the flesh is tempted to just shut down and stay to yourself. But sometimes it is in the obedience of saying, okay, I am going to go to church. I am going to show up. I'm still going to go to that Bible study. They invited me to do the speaking engagement. I'm exhausted and I don't want to do it, but I'm still going to do it anyway, Lord. And I would always show up, and that's where his power would show up. And so I really learned that principle of his power really is perfected in weakness. And it's when we have nothing to give that he wants to pour out and move in ways. This is how he gets glory.
Come
it's
on.
How he gets the credit.
Come on.
So that way no man can boast. Mm. I can't say, oh, I was so put together and on my game that day. No, I actually, I was actually really weak the night before and I prepared and I did my best, but I showed up in faith and God moved. And so I just, if there's anything else I would want someone else to hear from this conversation, is that even in the midst of darkness, God wants to use you and
Come
partner
on.
With you.
Come on.
Not from like a controlling place mm-hmm. or anything like that. He loves you. You're his daughter. You're his son. He wants to connect with you and be with you, but he also wants to flow in and through you. And that was something else that's valuable. So now when I meet with clients who are struggling with depression or grief, I will still check in with them and I check in. How are you pouring out in this season? Mm. Is there somebody that you can still serve or connect with? Because it's in through that sometimes I would get refreshment or I would feel
Come
better.
On.
You know, we're created to be conduits of connection.
Come on.
And loving on people. And so in being like Christ, even in our pain, it helps you feel better. He's so sovereign and divine. And how he designed it all. But that would be one other valuable lesson I learned. In the pain, still make sure you're available for him to use you so you can pour out. You need to pour out too.
Darkness does not have to be used to be put on a shelf and like, I can't right now. It is an invitation to say, Holy Spirit, in my weakness, how are you wanting to show up and show out so that you can be glorified? Y'all, I have goosebumps everywhere. Because I think that is such a lie of the enemy. Mm-hmm. That, oh, look how hard it is for you. And then self-pity comes in there. Like, and then pride, like, oh, I just got to care for myself. And there are seasons where you do need to just take
Correct.
Care of yourself. You can't be pouring out to everybody, but don't let
Correct.
The enemy tell you when you feel that move of the Spirit to do something that you're like, nah, see what God can do. If he's leading and you feel like there's a yes there, move and watch what he will do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. So you've developed these different strengths. How have they shaped the way you live today and embrace who God made you to be?
Yes. So one of the ways that it's shaped how I live today, personally and professionally, I think God has just developed a greater compassion for hurting people through it. There's a certain measure of grace and understanding and empathy that probably wouldn't have been there had I not really walked through my own season of darkness. So when someone sits across from me in the therapy room and they're telling me I have prayed, you know, or I have given this to God and it hasn't lifted yet, I can empathize and see that it's not any sort of indication of a lack of faith.
Come on
their part, that you can be fully in faith and fully grieving at the same time. Like those two realities can exist, and helping people understand that.
Come on.
And bringing awareness to that. And so, yeah, that grief and depression sometimes is your body or your flesh catching up to what's the truth of what's happening in the spirit realm. And so, so just as a whole, I think that's the biggest thing that comes to mind is, I think, a greater compassion and empathy for hurting people. And I mean, yeah, it shaped my relationship with God a lot, you know, and also I just saw, if I'm being honest, he's really faithful. You know, I think I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but a big, not a big part, but a portion of what I was wrestling with during that season of darkness was this extended season of singleness that I had. Like the Lord kept me single for a long time. I was single for 8.5, almost 9 years. Now the depression wasn't that long, but right. That was a part of it.
Yeah.
And so, and now the Lord really did bring me an amazing husband. He's wonderful. Not according to my plan or my thought or like, you know, the things that you have orchestrated in your mind. But I think God has used that time and he showed me that he really is faithful. He really does see me. He really does care about me. Yes. And so that has actually changed the way that I just operate in life. Like I know he's for me and I know he's with me. And so any sort of challenging thing I'm facing, any sort of hard thing, that doesn't need to be shaken. Like I know he's good and he's with me. I reach out for help. I'll have my husband pray for me. I'll reach out to friends. You know, we all know need support, but I feel like it just was a recalibrating season of my life where I really learned about who he was to me. And it does change the way that I approach life. Like there's like this confidence, I guess, where he is my confidence. The Lord is my confidence. And so I go, okay, come what may, like I don't have to fear man. I don't have to even fear my own like insufficient capabilities. Like I don't have to fear. I can just, he's going to come through for me. And if he's leading me to it, he will get me through. And so there is that confidence in the Lord God developed in and through it. And he's still working on that. We are forever working process because you get here, you come here and then the Lord stretches you and he goes, okay, but what about here? And so there's forever stretching, forever growing. But like I alluded to earlier, I just think there was a foundational faith muscle that got developed. And, yeah. And then my capacity to be compassionate toward hurting people.
And I think that is such a gift. And I just will speak this over you. I know as your friend that, and just from people that I know have worked with you, that that is something that they say is what's helped them transform, is the ability for you to be able to meet them in it. And that gentle, tender compassion in which you operate in. And so friends, I just want to tell you, I think sometimes we miss that Jesus was tender and what led him so often was his compassion. But in a life and in a world that's so hard, that is one of the greatest strengths that I think we can operate in as followers of Jesus. And so in those places, I guess this is a question. What would you tell people who are walking with someone or standing beside someone? And how can they move more in compassion? Because it can be frustrating when you're dealing with someone who may be going through the same thing and it's, you know, it's just a process and they're still. And so the temptation may be to be impatient and to get a little like, oh, come on, just jump out of it already, right? What would you tell to that person who may be walking with someone who's navigating depression or anxiety or grief, and it's taken a little while? How can they move in more compassion and grace?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, so two things come to mind. I think if you know that you are a person who's walking alongside someone, this sounds a little bit preliminary, but it's helpful if you're informed.
Come on.
I'll just start there. Like, if you know they're navigating death or loss or depression or an eating disorder, whatever mm-hmm. it is, like, the more informed you are, that will help you just have an understanding. Because on the other side of understanding, it increases your capacity to have compassion. Because you actually understand what's going on. So I know that may not be what you thought I was going to say, but the first piece of it is take some time to get an understanding. I'm talking like read a book, watch mm-hmm. a podcast, or like watch a video on it, like learn about what they're walking through. So that way you're just better informed. But then, so the other piece of what I would say is on the other side of that, one thing I will say is I think the temptation is to feel like you have to fix.
Come on.
Or the temptation is that you have to have the right words to say. And whenever I have helped to coach or counsel family members of hurting people, I will often remind them to never underestimate the value of just your presence.
Mm.
So, and I literally will tell them, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. That would
mm-hmm.
like, if you're not sure what you're about to say is going to be hurtful, don't say it. I would rather you tell them, it hurts me so much to see how much you're hurting and I don't have the words to say, but I'm here for you.
Mm.
I'm here. Like, I'll be right here. And, you know, and then offering your presence and offering like service, like practical yeah. service. So the grieving person or the depressed person or someone who's in a really low state,
mm-hmm.
I know clinically they trained us to help family members understand that when someone's going through grief or depression, you want to treat them as if they just had major surgery. So if you had a friend who like just had a big loss, for example, and you're wondering like, how do I love on this person? How do I serve them? They say, how would you treat somebody who just had major surgery? So you would show up and you would bring them food. You might clean their house for them. You might offer your presence. You don't have the fancy words to fix it. There's no fancy words that you have right now to fix it, but offer your presence. And that is how the Lord functions as a wonderful counselor. There are some things God, he is the healer. And I believe that he can heal anything he wants in a moment. But if in his divine sovereignty, he chooses not to, he does faithfully promise that he'll be with you.
Hallelujah.
In and through it. And so never underestimate the value of just your presence. And again, if this is an extended journey, mm-hmm. it's okay to be very practical about things. Offer somebody to show up every other Tuesday night and we'll, after dinner, we'll just sit and have dessert together on your couch. Like, it's okay to make it consistent too, because it's not realistic that you're on the phone with them every single day, walking through it with them. But do what's realistic and never underestimate the value of just showing up for somebody and being an available ear to listen.
Thank you. Take that with you, friends. Got some good nuggets, practical tips on how to come beside someone when they're walking through a dark season. So mm-hmm. my last question, this has been such a beautiful conversation, but I just want to know, are there any parting words? Is there any, as we've been sharing, as we've been talking through mm-hmm. this, is there anything that you can, that God is putting on your heart to just empower them to rise up and radiate as we get ready to close our conversation today?
Yes. If I had any brief parting words, I'll just keep it simple. I want to encourage listeners, if there is an area of darkness in your heart that you're struggling with or have struggled with in the past, bring it to the light. And I know that that sounds cliche, but there is psychological truth to that. There's spiritual truth to that. Find someone you trust. And if there is no one in your personal life that you trust, find a therapist. They're paid to be trustworthy
mm-hmm.
and safe. So bringing it to the light, being willing to open up about it. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know how it's going to look in walking out of this. That's the whole point. God wants to help you. God is already ready to make up the gap for you. And so he will lead you. But we do have that choice to make of bringing it to the light. And so I would say that. And then just to, yeah, to really echo that Jesus really does want to carry that for you. Come he doesn't on. Want you to have to carry that. He paid a high price. He died on that cross and he rose from that grave so that way you wouldn't have to carry
come on
that weight alone. And so he is the wonderful counselor. You can trust him.
Amen.
That's what I would say.
Let's go. So good. So good. So Monique, there could be people that are listening and they're like, where do I find Monique? Where should they go to find your information and how to connect with you if they'd like to?
Yes. So if you want to find me on Instagram at Life Transformation Counseling, you can find me or get access to me through our Instagram page there, or even just look us up at our website, lifetransformationcounseling.com. I'm not personally on social media, but you can find me on those professional platforms. And yeah.
Wonderful. Guys,
get connected that way.
Awesome. Yes. Connect with her. You will not be sorry. She's a gift. I also want to let you know that she has recommended some resources and those will be in the show notes. So make sure you check those out. But before we go, we're going to lighten it up a little bit. And I would love to ask you our final fun question for the day. Mm-hmm. So if you had to choose, would you choose spaghetti or lasagna and why?
Lasagna all the way. It's meaty, it's hearty, it's good.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
I do too. And I think for me, I would probably choose lasagna because I love the cheesiness of it. Like
I was going to say that. The cheesiness, it's dense.
Yeah.
When you find a good lasagna, it's good.
It is. It just settles something in your soul, huh? well, Monique, I thank you so much for your time. I thank you for being willing to come on and share about this season of darkness and to testify to what God did in bringing you to the light. And I'm so grateful for your yes to this today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
We'll do it again.
I love this. Yes. I was like, bring me back. I love it.
We'll bring you back, girl. Well, ladies and gentlemen, remember, you have a helper. Bring to light what the enemy is trying to keep in the dark. I promise you, it will set you free in ways you probably can't even begin to understand. And know that there is help. There is help available. So until next time, rise up and radiate and have a great day. Thank you for joining me today, beauties. I hope you're leaving inspired and ready to rise up and shine brighter than ever before. If you love today's episode, please let me know. I absolutely love hearing from you on Instagram. Feel free to send me a DM at Radiate Life Coaching or tag me in your story so I can share it too. If you're wondering about any products I mentioned or need more information, you can always email me at ivory@radiate-lifecoaching.com. And don't forget, all the details and links from today's episodes are right here in the show notes. Thank you again for being here. Let's keep spreading the light together. Until next time.